The scripture today is from Mark 4, 1 through 20, Pew Bible page 870. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed landed on a footpath. As the birds came and ate it, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they do not have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted."
Don't think you could drive around recently without noting the blooms that are already coming out. Last week, it was a little more impressive to say, or a little more disturbing to say, it's the last week of February and everything is blooming. And in fact, if you have any farming background or any investment in farming, particularly the peach crop, you might be a little worried to see things crop out, blossom out this early, because you know there's still the possibility of having a week with some freezing temperatures and the responsibility of trying to protect those new buds from frost. We sort of take for granted this process of growth every year and the crops will just be there. We have gotten, as adults, to be a little more desensitized to how fraught with peril that process can be. Blight, bugs, frost, all sorts of things, too much rain, can cause the crops problems. And yet, we know the basics of this, and the miracle of a little seed. We teach this to our elementary students. Science teachers get to see the wonder in the eyes of children as they watch that new bud push up through the soil, and if they watch it over time grow into a full plant. Jesus, of course, knew about this process, and he made several references in his teachings to the farming life, and this was a way to reach and to connect to those who were listening to him. And this perhaps is one of the more famous of those passages this morning, this parable about a sower, a farmer who has a collection of seeds, and he goes out and he tosses them here and there. We see that process, and we learn about four different types of soil. Three failures and one success. We look at this passage, though, and we also come to grips with something that becomes a part of Jesus' ministry, a hallmark. And we who have read the Gospels many times take this for granted, that Jesus taught in parables. And yet, the disciples here seem puzzled by what Jesus is doing. In fact, if we read this passage after reading, say, the Sermon on the Mount, where things seem to be much more direct, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the direct teachings about what happens if you're angry with a brother or a sister, or the direct teachings about how to pray. And then we come to a parable. It's interesting here to note that the disciples actually confront Jesus about this here. When Jesus was alone with the 12 and his other companions, they questioned him about the parables. He answered, "To you the secret of the kingdom of God has been given, but to those who are outside, everything comes by way of parables. So that, as Scripture says," and here he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, "they may look and look, but see nothing. They may listen and listen, but understand nothing. Otherwise, they might turn to God and be forgiven." And then on down, verse 23, "If you have ears to hear, then hear." And then verse 33, "With many such parables, he used to give them his message, so far as they were able to receive it. He never spoke to them except in parables, but privately to his disciples, he explained everything." He explains things to the disciples afterwards, but we look at the Gospels, and this is one of the only parables that we have that has an explanation along with the parable. And as we read through Jesus' explanation here and his quoting from Isaiah, we might struggle with this and we might feel like we really don't understand his reasoning for the parables. It's starting to look like he's speaking in code. To speak and speak, and they listen and listen, but they don't understand. Wasn't the purpose of speech understanding? And yet, if we push that too far, I think we're wandering astray from what Jesus is trying to say here. He introduces that by saying, "These things have been revealed to you." And perhaps you've had this experience in life where you and a friend or a family member went on the same walk through the woods, and you made observations, you walked the same path. And at the end of the walk, you thought it was a wonderful time. But your friend who walked on the same path said, "Well, that was a terrible time." Or you sit down and have a meal together, you eat the same food, and you think it's good, and your friend says, "That's nothing." And so we think about these moments where we can go down the same path, but we have a different point of view. We hear the same story, but for us, these are the words of God. These are treasured things that we tell, we study, we look closely to try to understand. And yet, on the other hand, we might have somebody who's a little more stubborn who says, "Well, this is just a story about a moderately successful farmer. Three failures, one success." And then goes on and prefers to hear another story. But Jesus here is driving home a spiritual point. And even the parable itself starts to suggest to us why he's teaching in parables. You know the story, the simplicity of it. Seed cast out, and it lands in four separate places. The first of these is along the footpath. And you can think about this. This is the place that people travel. And you think about the clay roads, the red clay roads here, after cars have driven along them, what happens to that clay? It gets packed down. It becomes hard. And if you're tossing seed out on that, what's going to happen? The seed is going to hit it, bounce, and then lie exposed. That's what Jesus says here. This first example, then the birds come, and it's easy pickings. Take that seed, carry it away. Jesus says the spiritual connection is those who let the word of God go in one ear, right out the other, or don't even listen to begin with. Satan comes along, takes it, and they are gone. We think today about all sorts of people who might be resistant to the gospel. Perhaps you've met somebody, you start talking about what Jesus means to you, and the person says, well, I'm a good person. A slogan comes out. Or, no reasonable person would ever think in that way or believe that stuff. And then from that point on, the ears are closed. They won't entertain any conversation. And we think here about the footpath and the seeds that don't even land in soil. How could we even call this soil? Because there is no growth whatsoever. So then we move on to the second example. And here, there's a little bit of soil in between a bunch of rocks. This is rocky territory, and we can think about this. The seed catches there, tries its best, reaching down through what little bit of soil there is there, grows up a little bit. But then the sun comes out and it's a hot, dry day and it scorches the plant and it withers and dies. Jesus says this is parallel to those who come to the faith quickly, who are excited about being part of God's kingdom, but then responsibilities start rising. And trials, tribulations, persecution starts happening. And these people abandon their love and move on to something else. And so here we can think about a number of examples, because this can produce problems within our congregations. If we have someone who comes in as an excited and then suddenly abandons that love. In the 4th century, we're dialing it back here, this was after the Roman persecution. The Roman persecution had started with Nero in 64 AD and run off and on for some 250 years until a Roman emperor named Constantine decided to endorse Christianity and make steps towards making it the official religion of the Roman Empire. But what happened here is that we think, well, that's a wonderful thing, but it inadvertently created a controversy within the early churches there. It was something referred to as the Donatist controversy, because in northern Africa, there were those who said, well, now that Christianity is endorsed by the Roman Empire, we have all these people who abandoned Christianity during the time of persecution and looked a lot like this rocky soil situation. And now they're coming back into the church and they're participating in ordinations and they're baptizing people. What do we do in this situation? The Donatists said, they showed their merit in the time of persecution, and we closed the doors to them, and we will not let them back into the congregation. There were those, though, on the other side, like St. Augustine, Augustine of Hippo, you may have heard of him, who said, God's grace extends, and it's better for us to be on the side of mercy and letting them back in than on the side of being hard-nosed about this. But you can see how that would naturally produce this debate and controversy within those churches. And even today, we may see the damage of those who come into the church and then who abandon it, and the damage that it might do to those friends who are around them. But we move on to the third example, and the third example is a patch with a bunch of thistles, thorns, weeds. The seed catches there and starts growing, and it grows a little bit better than what happened in the rocky soil. This is beginning to look more promising, but as it gets larger, there's a competition for resources. And the thistles and the weeds, as we who have yards and who are farmers know, it seems like the weeds always dominate and they choke out the good plants. And the seed that comes from the sower dies out as well. And we think about examples in our own lives, not necessarily of people who come into the church and have a faith quickly and then leave it, but these are people who stay for much longer periods of time, but who may come and go and come and go because there's a competition in their lives between the values of being a follower of Christ and the values of the world. And these individuals try to play in both situations. But Jesus here is asking for a single-minded commitment. And that then leads us to the fourth type of soil, the only success in this story. But that is where the miracle takes place, the tiny seed. And Jesus introduces another short parable within this one, speaking about the mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds, that infinitesimal dot going into the ground, and yet that can take root and grow out into this magnificent tree. And here Jesus says, when the Word of God takes root in our lives, then there will be fruit. He says there's a crop 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And that truly is a miracle. Can we be so jaded as not to forget the miraculous point of a plant growing into a large tree? And it is that very miracle that we can see in our own lives when we listen to the Word of God, when we allow God's Word to transform our point of view, and we meditate on these parables and we let them sink in. Because one of the strong legacies of these parables is they involve us. It's one of the beautiful parts of Jesus' teachings, and one of the reasons why we can emphasize them today. We read the Gospels and the parables stick with us. If you think about the parable of the prodigal son or the good Samaritan, and many of you would have spoken about the parable of the sower. These become part of who we are and they transform our perspective on life. And they motivate us, so that we too will bear good fruit, so that we can be beautiful plants giving testimony to God's kingdom. And so this morning we ask ourselves, do we read the Bible on a regular basis? Do we listen to Jesus' teachings? Do we tell the parables of Jesus? Do we meditate on them and try to figure out what Jesus is communicating to us today? Or do we put up excuses, our own slogans that shut down conversation, and then we make excuses to go and do something else rather than meditate on the Word of God? Or are we excited initially, but then when things get hard, do we turn away from our responsibilities? Or do we try this lukewarm dance between commitment and giving ourselves to something else? Do we need to take a moment this morning or this afternoon to weed out those things that are preventing God's Word from growing to its full extent within us? The question we ask ourselves this morning is, what kind of soil are we? And is the Word of God growing in us to the benefit of those around us? This morning we come to our time of commitment, hymn number 527. I Know Whom I Have Believed. It's a time for you to think about your own commitment, your own study. If you are a disciple of Jesus, what do the words of the Savior mean to you? Have they taken root within your life? And if they have, then now you can be a sower. And you can spread those seeds to others and help God's kingdom grow in this world. There are different types of soil out there, and there will be resistance. But when we see God's Word take hold, it is a miracle to behold. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 527.